Yeah. Cross up ready on the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like here we go.
Here we go.
People changing up the game, oh Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is.
It's Crawl Talk with this radio, conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig, two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaging listeners on topic, discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors, ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room, it's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe in things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
Welcome back to an edition of Cross Talk.
What's going on, people?
This is your man, Steph Swig.
This is your boy, Big Pudge.
And we're excited. We got a great show, great topic as always. Man, we're going to be talking about questions you should ask before dating.
Questions you should ask before dating. This is, I think this is very, very, it's going to be very informative to see how certain men and women think when it comes to dating and how certain men and women mindsets are. Like now in 2017, when it comes to dating, it's definitely has changed since back in the day when, you know, our parents were dating or what they would call courting back in those days.
Wow. It's changed since I've been dating. I've been married since 98, so I haven't dated since like the 90s, man. So it'll be new to me. I don't know how people date right now.
Yeah, well, from experience, I was married for 13 years, divorced in 2013, and like honestly, the dating game has completely changed. It is so, I felt like, you know, I was in a foreign country.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it really has changed. It's not like the way it used to be. The state that we live in, I can't speak for any other states, but the state that we live in, statistically, there's 15 women to one man in the state of Atlanta, Georgia, the state of Georgia. So, oh man, that is just like, that's a lot because a lot of the men feel like they could just, you know, pick and choose out of the litter,
yeah.
What it is they want, you know. And again, I'm only speaking for the state of Georgia, the statistics, because, you know, and then the mindset that men have once they hear that, it's like, oh, you don't want me? Oh, okay, I'll go to somebody else. And a lot of men don't believe in the court and the dating. They just tell a woman what it is they want. And you know, not all women, ladies, but there are a lot of women out here that are desperate and thirsty, and they will just take whatever because of the statistics are so high.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question, but I want to, because we went to listeners, people. We went to listeners and asked them the questions we should ask before we start dating, which like, we got a lot of good input.
Yeah.
But I was looking at some of the responses people gave, and I want to ask Pudge this question right here, because I think based on some of people's responses, I think they're coming from a different point of view when it comes to dating. Like, some of these questions are very deep, intricate questions. Some of these questions are kind of, I mean, some of the responses were kind of deep and intricate and serious. Mm-hmm. Some of them was kind of like, kind of shallow, not as deep. Nothing against it either way.
Yeah.
But what is the purpose of dating, period, in your opinion?
My purpose of dating is to, dating to me is a process of elimination of who you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
Okay.
So to me, that is the word, that is the definition, that is Pudge's definition of dating. Process of elimination, you know, to see who you're planning on spending the rest of your life with. That's my definition.
I agree. That's exactly the answer I wanted you to know. Because that's my opinion, too. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you're not, I mean, some people can't date casually just for sex and just to go out on a date and just be with company of the opposite sex or whatever. But I wanted to bring that out just specifically because a lot of responses were deep questions for someone that's casually dating.
True.
True.
You know, like, what's your view on children? That's not a casual date type question. That's like, I'm considering possibly spending the rest of my life with you or not type answer, rather. And that's why I want to pull that out. That's to my understanding, that's the purpose of dating, period. It's just, I guess out of high school, that's the purpose of dating.
Right.
Is to see if you're going to marry, who you're going to marry, or finding the person. It's a search.
Yeah, it is. It
you
is.
Know, and I think as an adult, I think the older you get, the more you date like that. That's typically the idea. But some people might believe it's a waste of time to date if you're not dating with the intention of going further than just dating.
Right.
You know.
Now you have younger, you got the younger generation where they date, and I would always encourage someone to date with that process of elimination mindset. However, when you're like 18, 19, 20, you know, you're just now starting to like date and go out, I would just say live your life. Live your life, because you have a lot of people that get married fresh out of high school or fresh out of college, and they realize they missed out on a lot. And then later on down in their lives, they're trying to live what it is they missed out on. Sometimes it's beneficial to their present relationship or marriage. Sometimes it hurts, you know.
It can actually break it up.
It really can, because you realize that now that 20 years in, you didn't get a chance to be that wild person you was, and you still have it in you. So now at 35, you still want to go clubbing where your husband or your wife has done that already.
Yeah.
And they don't, so it causes friction in the relationship. So,
yeah,
you know, dating is, you know, I don't want to agree to casual dating, so I'm not going to say casual dating. I'm going to just say, you know, if you were young, you know, I would definitely say live your life. I would say live your life, you know, see what it's like to, you know, go out or what, you know, different people to see, or, you know, just to see how people are. I would dare say don't get caught up in one person in the beginning. It can hurt and it can help, you know. Yeah. It's to each his own. It's to, you know, depend on. I would never say that's a bad thing at all, you know. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you just really want to live your life before you completely settle down.
You have to learn how to be single first. Hands down. Not just, single is not always just the consequence of you not being able to find somebody. Actually, it's a great time to find yourself.
Exactly.
You know, and two halves don't make a whole. You need to be whole before you marry. Hands down. Whatever. But when you're dating people, at least when you're dating people, not like when you're dating people, when you're dating different people, mm-hmm. you at least kind of learn. You learn yourself too.
That's
you learn.
True.
You learn how to carry yourself in a relationship for one. You learn maybe what you do like, what you don't like. You know, all kinds of stuff. So I think it's a good idea to date, even if it's multiple people, but not just as a casual dating thing. Like you said, Yusuf, earlier, just as a process of elimination. Okay, I was with this girl, she looked good, but I don't like this.
Right.
Or I don't like how I feel when this happens, or this is a major turnoff. So you learn, you set your standards. That way you're not just falling for anybody that shows you attention. You know,
that's
it's
true.
Good to know who you are, whose you are, and just know what you like and don't like. All right, but moving on, that's the dating advice we've given you. So let's find out what we should be asking before, what people said they you should be asking before dates, before you date.
So, you know, I'm normally the go-to guy. So, and just in case, you know, if y'all looking now, if y'all want to find me or Step on Facebook, you can look us up at any point in time. If you want to look for me on Facebook, just type in Yusuf, Y-U-S-U-F, that's Big Pudge, B-I-G-P-U-D-G-E. And you could go to these questions that, you know, I asked my friends, and you could. We're not going to read off all the responses because there's like over 200. So, but you can read the responses and to see the, you know, the dovetail conversations that were had on some of the people's responses, because this was very, very, very interesting. I will say, in 2017, I'm not even shocked at some of the questions that I see people would ask, but I can definitely tell you, 20, 30 years ago, some of these questions would have never even been formed because of, you know, there was a lot that wasn't going on then. It is going on now. So I have one person, and again, it's what are some questions you should ask before dating? This one person said, are you gay? Down low, low down, bisexual, greedy, or not sure? And I'm not going to lie, when I saw not sure, I like to hit the floor, because that was hilarious to me. And the sad part is, you really do have people that are not sure what they like, what they are, you know. So, so sad to say, but in 2017, that is a legit question to ask, you know.
It was probably a legit question back when people started dating, just not on the forefront because of social media like it is now.
True.
You know. or if I R. Kelly songs expose that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
You like remember in the closet when they talked about that?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway,
this and the same person, they put something else, and I ain't gonna lie, it was hilarious too.
Please share.
She said, another question is that you want to ask when you're dating is, does your wife know you're single?
It is funny. It is funny, but it is sad that that happens a lot.
It is. And it's very sad, but it does happen a lot to where a guy talking about he's single and he got a whole wife and kids at home. And no, wife is clueless to everything that's going on.
Everything. She don't know he's single. Yeah.
Right. Wow. So I have someone else, another friend that says, you know, the quick question would be, are you a Christian? What's your relationship like with God? And do you go to church? You know, I think those are, you know, basic good questions that you ask because sometimes you don't even have to go on a date to find out if you're even going to make it to a date. You could just have me personally. If I'm talking to you on the phone, sir, I'm going to be able to tell if we even going to make it to the to going out on a physical date.
Yeah.
By the way, the conversation goes on the phone. Yeah. So, you know, if you know, a lot of people, I know certain people where they'll talk on the phone and stuff like that, and they'll pretty much know the person is not for them, but they'll go out on a date anyway.
Yeah.
Just because they want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, they might be nervous during the conversation, not answering questions, right? So it's like, let me go see them, and let's go out to see if they get more comfortable.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So go back to, what was the response? Do you go to church? Do you know God? What was it again?
Are you a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
What's your relationship like with God? And I think that's a real interesting question.
That's a
question.
Great one. I need to jump on that one a little bit more.
Yeah, go ahead. And do you go to church?
Okay. Well, I think out of that one, when someone says, are you a Christian? What's your relationship with God? That speaks a whole volume. Mm-hmm. Just on that topic alone. I don't want to get too far off topic, but it's like, you know, you got, when you go with that kind of question, what she's asking, like, what it sounds like the person's asking is like, it seems like, if you think about it, if you're a Christian, you think technically if he said, yeah, then it wouldn't even be a question, what's your relationship with God like? But there's a difference in just being a Christian and having a personal intimate relationship. Like, some people might be a Christian just based on their beliefs and how they operate religiously.
Right.
You know, but so when they ask you about, are you a Christian and what's your relationship with God like, that means, are you a Christian and are you having a personal, intimate relationship? Basically, are you living it? Not just saying, not because I believe Christ is Savior, but am I living as if I believe and know Christ as my Savior?
Exactly.
You know, the church thing,
you know. Teachers on we both feel the same way. You know,
because you can go to church, that don't mean nothing.
It doesn't mean anything. You could be the most wickedest person sitting up in the church on the first pew. So it doesn't really mean anything when it comes to that. You know, it's when she posed that question, there were 16 different replies, and it was naturally because she asked about, you know, you being a Christian and your relationship with God. So my cousin, you know, my cousin is Muslim.
Okay.
And, you know,
I can't wait to see what he said.
So he responded, and his response to that was, I get that question a lot until I tell him I'm Muslim. He said, from that point on, she's done. She doesn't want to try to understand my beliefs, and all of a sudden, I'm the devil or I'm going to hell. If this is what a Christian is, I don't need one. So the first thing I find out is, are you God-fearing, is what he asked a woman. Are you God-fearing? And are you humbled by God? Mm. So those are the questions that he asked a woman.
I like your cousin. That's a good take on that.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
It's
sad that, unfortunately, he's ran into women where, if you ask me, they have that Pharisee feel to them, where if you're not this and you're not that, then you're damned to going to hell. You know?
Yeah.
To people who don't know, Yeshua said himself, I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, so how in the world can a human being tell you where you're going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the Son of Man couldn't tell you where you were going, how can a human being tell you that?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sad, now I had another friend who I don't know, just a Facebook friend, respond to him. And ooh. I love her response too.
Let's hear it.
It was salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, not Allah, so of course she's done. Christian is a follower of Christ. You two would be serving two different gods and only one gets you to eternal life, Jesus Christ. Now, of course, you know, naturally, that started a whole debate. Because he started off Muslim. He wound up converting to Christianity, and he went back to Muslim.
Oh, wait, I need to have a conversation with him. I'm curious.
He went back to being a Muslim because he was hurt by the church.
Yeah, I understand that.
Right. Okay. So, you know, and
we should have him on one day.
We really should. Now, yeah, we should, because, you know, his beliefs are deep.
Yeah.
You know, his beliefs are deep, and he believes in just, you know, just in being humbled by God and fearing God himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
I understand that too, but, you know, of course, we're Christian, or whatever you want to call us. We're kingdom citizens, people right. who love Jesus on the show. So, of course, naturally, I agree with the lady who says Christ is the only way, because Christ said he's the only way, and I believe him.
Right, right.
But I wonder, like, I don't want to start this debate, but my thing is, I agree with being equally yoked. I definitely believe, like, it'd be difficult for a believer and a non-believer to be married, or a Muslim and a Christian to be married because of different beliefs. However, is that a God standard, or is that a standard that we set before ourselves? Because I'm asking this question because if you think about when it talks about, and she's talking about eternity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but Jesus said that there is no marriage in heaven. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to marriage, it's an earthly thing. We're not required by God to be married unless we plan on having sex.
Mm-hmm.
So my point being, I believe you can be compatible on a romantic side, but you'll still be going east and west on a spiritual side. So I know couples, or I know people who are married and they have different, not just different beliefs, like it's a Muslim and a Christian married and they're still together. I don't know the state of their marriage,
mm-hmm.
but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
But it's like, for some people, that may or may not be a deal breaker. And I'd be wondering if, like, If I'm a Christian and I married a Muslim, are we going to be trying to convert each other later down the line?
On a regular basis?
Yeah. I think it's possible, but I think it would be very difficult.
Right.
In a simple fact that, you know, certain things Christians do and believe are passion. Like, you believe, if you're God-fearing on either side of the, on that Christian or Muslim, you're thinking everything you're doing is God-fearing. So it's like, there's no way there's going to be a compromise for you to do something with this person and vice versa. So you'd be feeling like almost like sinning if you start entertaining one of the other beliefs, I think. So right, that caused a split possibly.
Right.
But I was just curious, you know, but I don't know if that's a deal breaker, because even when Paul talks about it, he talks about being a believer married to a non-believer.
Mm.
Paul talks about that. He says you should not leave them. You should still love them with the love of Christ. You should still love them. So so that tells me that it's not necessarily a deal breaker in God's eyes for you to be married to someone who's not Christian or not Muslim or whatever.
So you hear that, world? Like that's in the word of God. You know what I'm saying? So for those who are trying to condemn your friends for being married to someone that's not Christian, you might want to scale back on that and start telling them to lean towards what the word of God says versus your opinion on what you feel. You
know what I'm saying? Exactly.
That's not that. And I honestly didn't know that. What you just said, I didn't know that. And it just makes me feel good, because literally somebody had a conversation with me 2 weeks ago about that, mm-hmm. And they posed that question, and it was a woman who's married to a Muslim.
Yeah.
And, you know, she loves her husband, he loves her, and as of right now, their different beliefs are not getting in the way of their marriage.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting too.
Yeah, my advice was to her was that in no way, form, or fashion do you get up and walk away from your marriage.
You don't.
Just because he believes something. Like, y'all both knew y'all beliefs before y'all got together. Somehow, the love that y'all had for each other was that powerful to where y'all were determined to work it out.
True.
So, I just encouraged her to stay in your word. Stay in your word and stay before God to show, so that God can show your husband who the truth is, what the truth is.
Yes.
You know, and not press him about, because she's like, we know he doesn't press me about what he believes. I don't press him. When we have the conversation, it's about it's just about God as a whole.
Yeah.
So what they do is they bring in God as a whole, and everything that the Quran and the Holy Bible says about God that is similar, they put that together and they stand on that.
Okay.
Now,
so
she's
they found
not
a way
budging
to coexist.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, she's not budging off of Jesus being the way, the truth, and the light. She'll never budge off of that.
Okay.
You know, but she's just like, I don't ever want to bring that up, and it's not time.
Yeah.
And I just kept encouraging her, and it felt good, because when you said that, I thought about the conversation I had with her.
Yeah.
And it was to like, because a lot of people have been telling her, you made a mistake. You need to leave your husband and stuff like that. And I'm just like, why in the world would somebody say something like that?
That's not even godly advice. Even just from a Christian standpoint, it's not godly advice. Because the only reason, only thing Christ grants you divorce from is if someone's been unfaithful. And that's sleeping around with somebody else. However, he didn't even want to really do that. They asked him that question and he said, if you need something, a reason to divorce somebody, this is what you can do. He never even touched the unbelieving part of it.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, Paul talks about, like, Paul basically gave the same advice you gave. But it's like, if for my believers out there, if you're with somebody who's a non-believer, you're supposed to love them. What other better way to show them the love of Christ? What other better way to minister and witness to them other than just daily? I'm not saying preach to them every day, but just show them the love of Christ. Let them see your life up front. Right there. Be bold. Show them who you are. Show them who Christ is through your actions, through the way you love unconditionally.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, there are circumstances where you could have done it the right way in the Christian mindset, and you saved, and this person saved, and y'all get married. But what happens if he converts to a different religion? What happens if he just stops believing? What happens if somebody died close to him, and he prayed for him, and people get hurt by that, and they turn their back on God? You know what I'm saying? They drop really. A lot of atheists are people who've been hurt by devastating things. Like, why would God take my mom away? And I've been praying. Now if there's a God, this wouldn't happen. What happens if that happens? Then do you believe him then? That doesn't sound God-like, Christ-like at all. Also, you have to realize that people are on a journey. You might be in a person's life to lead them to Christ in that particular manner. Who knows? Right. Also, what happens if one person got saved and one person didn't before y'all were married? Mm-hmm. I mean, because I was blessed. We both got saved before we were married, but we wasn't saved when we got married. Neither one of us was.
Right.
So it's a lot of different scenarios, but you know, nothing says divorce this person. You know, and when the Bible talks about being on equally yoked, he doesn't say it as a sin. I think it talks about it more as a hiccup or a problem.
Right.
Not like, hey, this is a deal breaker.
Right.
So I know we got results and we got stuff like that, but man, I got to ask you this question. Being that I just talked about that, what would be a deal breaker for you? Deer in the headlights.
You should have seen my face, people.
Sorry, man. I'm just flowing. I got excited.
A deal breaker with me would be a woman who has not been healed from her past. A woman that is bringing her past hurt to her present relationship.
Yeah.
That would be a deal breaker for me, because that's just simply letting me know whatever it is you went through in the past, you have not healed from it. You have not gotten over it. You haven't been delivered from it. And now you're bringing whatever that was to this new relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a deal breaker for me, because I've lived that. I've been in several relationships like that.
That's common.
Yeah, and it doesn't, it's never going to benefit. It's never going to benefit your relationship unless you conform yourself to being what this person wants you to be, which is almost kind of like being turned into a robot and it's not you. Mm-hmm. Like, an example would be, when I say, just any past hurt overall, period. The main one I dealt with was trust and insecure issues. Women who struggle with trusting, women who struggle with, who are very insecure because they have been hurt. And they have this denial state that they think they over it. You know, I'll tell you like this. And it's just the women that I've dealt with. I'm not saying all women. I will say this. A lot of Leos, they go through a transformation stage. Oh, I got to put it out there, because there's Leos out there who are going to automatically, they may be pissed, but they still going to relate.
I'm just laughing at you because you brought in horoscopes into a quote-unquote maybe Christian show. That's going to be another topic anyway. I don't have a problem with it. But
when it comes to horoscopes, it's not that I believe about that. Yeah, people people that think that's of the devil, that sorcery.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about
that. Whole other subject.
Yeah. But go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
But what I'm saying is, Leos go through a transformation. When they get hurt or scarred, they go from changing their whole hair color, chopping off all their hair. Or now they want to go dreads, or, you know what I'm saying, or now, I've never wore red lipstick in my entire life, but I want to do something different, so I'm going to do that. You know, I'm going to pick up and just go move to a whole other state where I don't know nobody. They do drastic changes to manipulate their mind like they're over their past hurt, when all they did was camouflage and become somebody new or put on a whole other mask to make it seem like they're over what it is that they're not. And majority of the times, they get right into another relationship. Now, this is pretty much male and females.
Yeah.
When they get into another relationship, what they do is the minute they see or feel something that's from the past that's not good, they automatically assume that that person is doing what they experienced in the past. And, you know, it's kind of like beating a dead horse, man. You will, you can do everything that that person is asking you to do as long as they have trust and insecure issues and they still bringing in past hurt. Nothing you're going to be able to do is going to keep them maintained or keep them satisfied because they need healing.
Mm-hmm.
So my deal breaker is just past hurt coming into a new relationship.
I think that'd be a deal breaker. I don't know if it'd be a deal breaker for everybody, but I think that'll definitely be a relationship killer.
Yeah, because it's not, it takes the fun out of everything. Like, you know, when you first get with somebody and y'all happy and you're in love or just really getting, you know, you feel like you're on a high, like you're on a real high cloud. You know, eventually you start coming down off that cloud, but when I start coming down off that cloud, I still want to be happy. I still want to be, you know, be look forward to talking to you every day or seeing you, stuff like that. Not coming down on the cloud, I'm like, oh my gosh, man, it's been 10 minutes, and I said I was going to call her 10 minutes ago, and it's 10 minutes later. Now she's going to think I'm out here doing something. You know, stuff like that, that totally kills the relationship.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? So that, and that's just because I have experienced that for, like, a long time. So
let me ask you a question. Have you ever been on the other end of that? Have you ever took your hurts from a past
relationship? Most definitely.
So how did you ever heal from those past hurts, or are you still in a situation?
I didn't heal from them in the relationship.
Yeah. So how did you heal from them?
After it was over, and God had to deal with me. Like, he had to show me. He had to show me all my dirt. He showed me all my dirt. He showed me all my filth. Even though I consider myself still being a good man, you know, and or good husband, you know, he still showed me my wrongs and my dirt. And I went into depression after that because I was just like, "Dad, God, I didn't know I was that messed up."
It's funny when we have our sins, but we went against God's standards. We are dirt, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. It took for me to get me to a lonely place where, you know, I had to deal with my own issues, my own hurt. I mean, and the ugly part was I was going through insecurity. I was insecure. I had trust issues.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So. Which is the reason why I can peep it out so quickly when someone else has it.
I got you.
Because I used to go through that. So, and I do know I did the denial thing, you know what I'm saying, to play the role like everything's all right, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. So I'm very familiar with that spirit. So, you know what I'm saying, it took for God to really, I mean, and then I had to want to. Because after a while, you get complacent. You become comfortable with the mask.
Yeah.
You become comfortable with being in denial, you know what I'm saying. And then when somebody tries to pretty much let you know, hey, I don't really know who you are anymore. You turn into this whole person. Then you on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on the defense as well, too, when people try to tell me, you know, you change and stuff like that. So
you would do all this stuff.
This is why I can talk about it and not be like, oh, I seen that. No, I've experienced that.
I got you.
So that's why that's my own personal deal breaker, because it's like it brings up too much that I spent majority of my life going through, and then I've been in relationships with people that were broken and just like I was.
Wow.
So, and then, you know, I don't want to, God specifically told me, my wife is a woman who came from a broken place, but is no longer broken. So it's easy for me to, you know what I'm saying,
do the
process of elimination, because I can tell a broken woman from a mile away only because I've been ministering to broken women for a very long time. So I can point it out just in the conversation if someone's like broken or not. So that, like I said, that's my deal breaker for me.
I got you. All right, so now I gotta ask you another question.
It's
not interview Pudge Day, I promise you, but man, as you talking, I just think of these other questions. Because I don't have much experience with dating. Like I said, I got married in 98.
Right.
I got engaged in 96.
Right.
So I haven't dated literally since I was a teenager, like on a single market.
Right.
Like I was 17 years old when I got engaged. So I don't have any dating experience or no real dating advice. Per se, I can give you marriage advice. I can't give you dating advice. But let me ask you this then, because as you talk, I'm sure someone else who listens to the podcast will think the same thing. I hear you about the past hurts, and you know, you got to get over the past hurts.
Right.
But what about, you know, anytime I bring the past hurts into new relationships, so when this happens in this relationship, like say you were the girl and you see this pattern, like, oh, well, not a pattern, but you see this girl do this and it triggers something, and you're like, oh my gosh, she's just like the last girl.
Right.
My question is, what if it is just like the last girl? Because, you know, there's people who have a pattern of end up with the wrong type of people. Like, I know people personally, if you look at the dudes they dated, they look like they come up with an assembly line of the same type of people, same type of situation, same type of everything. Look like almost like the same dude. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of like the women that are always end up in an abusive relationship. Like, they got one abusive relationship, not even another abusive relationship. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like sometimes people do choose, they're attracted to that same thing over and over and over. So they have the, they do have it, the same problem. It's not even them having to get over. I don't know if it's just, it's not just them having to get over her. The problem is a lot of times they're attracted to the same type of person over and over and over. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how do you what's your advice for people like that?
Really? Did you just put that on me, man?
Nah, that's just something I want y'all to think about out there for real. Like, if you're constantly in a relationship and it's like a different relationship and it seems like the same stuff is happening, you might want to check who you're attracted to or who you're attracting. Because that's a pattern. A lot of times it's a pattern.
Yeah, it is. You know? And it's a cycle, man. It's a cycle. I repeated that cycle pretty much all my life. You have to recognize your cycle. You have to recognize what it is that you attract. Like, if you're always if you are in an abusive relationship and you realize that every person you get with after that is abusive, it's a cycle. It's a soul tie that you've tied yourself to, and you need to find out who the soul tie came from and pray that off of you. Otherwise, you will continue the same cycle. Like, every person will have not an attribute, but a negative light to them, just like the other person in the past had. And they will have some attributes, which will strike your antennas to go off when you notice that you're experiencing or feeling something that you felt in the past. It's what they call familiar spirits. It's just a cycle. So my advice would be, if you know, you're literally experiencing the same thing in all relationships, if it's all bad, then you definitely need to go to God and find out where the root of it came from. There was somebody that you was with that started that, and you need to pray that person off. Pray that person's spirit off of you so that you can actually heal from that and not keep going through the same thing.
Great answer. For someone who act like they didn't have, you had experience in that. Like, if something bad happened, I think you just had experience with it, period. But when it comes to dating, at least. So let me ask you this. So no, let's get back to the. I don't have no more questions.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Give me another response to what someone said.
Man, I got a homegirl from St. Louis, man. She had me on the floor. Hers was, and this is a real legit question. This wasn't funny. It was, have you murdered somebody? and not trying to be funny.
That would be a deal breaker.
You still
possibly.
Possibly.
Possibly. It depends on what happened.
I guess. I don't know. It's, to me, she said murdered, not accidentally killed. So, you know, murdered someone. That's you know.
She be protecting the children. It depends.
I don't know. I'd
like to have a talk about that one.
Yeah.
Depending on what she looked like.
Yeah. I don't know what it is you're going to say to convince me to still want to date you after you telling me to murder somebody.
True.
Because my thing is, if you have murdered somebody and you talking about it's because they abused me, I need to make sure you went and got help for being abused. Because I don't need me to come in from work frustrated one day and slam a book down and you're thinking I'm about to whoop you, so you trying to kill me.
She have a flashback.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So we had to talk. Did you get help for that?
Wow, that's a great... I just kind of assumed that was something... I don't know. I would never think to ask that question if I was on a dating scene. See, I'm glad I'm doing this.
Like I said, this is why I'm naming where certain people from, because you don't know how certain people were raised. You actually have people, man, that were raised around killers. You got people that were raised in dope houses all day long. And I got a friend, he's in prison now, but, you know, I mean, he by 5 years old, he already knew how to cut rocks.
Wow.
He already knew how to chop up a whole slab, you know what I'm saying, at 5 years old. His mother and his father, that's all they did growing up. So the way people are raised, it does affect you to ask certain questions. You know what I'm saying? I knew my homegirl grew up in the hood of St. Louis, so to her, that's natural. Have you murdered somebody? You know what I'm saying?
You know, I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah, so that's a natural question to
ask.
That
might be a small dating pool then. Like, dang, like one out of five in St. Louis might have said, let me ask this, are you a killer?
But, right, her other question is, do you bathe or wash up?
Oh my God.
She said, I know you like women, but will I be in competition with other men as well?
This is the same person?
Same person.
Man, what kind of dating pool do they have in St. Louis, man? Golly.
Natalie, baby, I'm putting you out there, boy.
What kind of dating pool? You got to ask these kind of questions. Like, you need to have a printed off application to date out there, apparently, or a screening process. But golly, have you murdered somebody? I know you like women, but
I mean, and that's funny because, but she also said, "When's the last time you flossed? Do you know how to season meat? Do you wear open toes sandals? Are your toenails green?"
She might need to be on eHarmony or something. Like, golly. And the sad thing is, if people are asking these questions, it's the same thing when you have a sign that says don't do something. You have a sign that says don't do something, that means someone's tried it.
Right.
So if she's asking, are your toenails green? Do you floss? Do you wash or wash up? That means she's probably experienced some of these dates where people don't come up with the hygiene.
Oh, this is it's fun.
Wow.
And this is another good one. This young lady put, mine's tend to be, are you still in love with your baby's mother?
Ooh.
How many children do you have and how... And how they answer that lets me know if I want to even move forward in asking other questions, because some people hide the fact that they even have kids or still have a relationship with their baby's mother. And that is so very true, man. I have four biological kids, mm-hmm. two were by my boy's mom prior to my marriage, and that question does get asked a lot. Are you still in love with your baby's mother? And the sad part is a lot of brothers are in denial about that. Brothers have some concept that they feel like they have ownership over the woman that has had kids by them. Mm-hmm. Like, they could be the moved on, y'all ain't did nothing in 10, 15 years, but that man still felt he has some sort of ownership over the woman because you had my child. And sometimes that shows when you're dating someone else. And it caused the woman that you with right now to think there's something still going on, whether it may be or whether it not may be. But that was a very good question because a lot of brothers secretly are, and they act like they not.
Yeah.
But they really, really are.
I know people who are in relationships who have kids that their person that they're with now don't know about it.
Right. See?
And that's crazy.
See? That.
No judgment. Crazy. Just crazy, in my opinion.
Right. And this one other person says, can I see your medical records?
Man, that's getting deep. On what date is this? Is this the question though? Like, is this the first date?
This I don't know. She didn't say that. That
because you know, if you think about it, questions they ask before you start dating, right? That was the question you posed.
Mm-hmm.
So this means it's got to be on the first date.
You have a
dinner. Hey, let me see the medical record.
You see your medical records, or would you be able to? And now, my aunt in Philly, she was like, she literally said, can I have your social security number so I can do a background check?
Oh, heck no. Because she might be trying to steal your identity, too. Nothing against your aunt, though. I'm just saying.
Oh, no. My aunt crazy, man.
I'm just saying.
I'm not tripping.
Background check, I get that, too. But is it that?
But the funny part was there were several women that chimed on and agreed with her. Because what my aunt live in Philly. And she born and bred in Philly all her life. And what she was saying is, brothers are very crafty with lies.
Mm-hmm.
They can woo you with the best lie on the planet, all the while they've been on the run for the past 15 years.
Wow.
So she's like, you know, social security number, you know, me just getting your whole full background check, that just squashes me having to think or think, you know, what is it? What is your past? Because, you know, a lot of people will not tell you their past life. You know, it's going to take for you to get to know them for a while, and then some people just don't reveal nothing about their past, but mm-hmm. your background will tell me everything I need to know about your past.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I do encourage people, let me just go ahead and encourage the whole world that's listening. I do think it's very wise to run some kind of background check or... run the person's name to see what comes up in public knowledge when you're actually dating someone, because the Bible says trust no man. So and even if you don't believe in the word of God, you shouldn't trust nobody, period.
Especially if you got kids. Some background checks could save your kid from being molested.
Yeah. Or you're abused or anything. I mean, anything. So I would definitely, you know, without not putting anybody's business out there, but I ran a background, not even a background, I ran somebody's name a while back, and I could not believe it. You know, this person wound up being, a sex offender, you know what I'm saying? And it's one of them things where, and it was public knowledge. I didn't have to pay any money to do a background check. I just found a person's entire name and ran it. Just put it on social media.
Yeah.
I mean, Googled it, and everything that was public knowledge came up about this person. And the one main thing was that he was a registered sex offender from another state. But he had to register himself in the state that every state he go, he had to register himself. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, when you find out people's names, you know, it's not a bad thing at all to go ahead and run that, because you give yourself a heads up on what it is you're getting yourself into.
Wow. So that's a lot of information. We got any time? We got time for more responses?
Because when I say, man, this one brother, Adrian, he said, are you a God-fearing woman? Where do you see yourself 3 to 5 years from now?
See, that's a person who's looking for
He's looking for, and I'm going to show you, and I'm going to read you a comment where somebody was talking about casual sex. So this is a long-term, I'm trying to spend the rest of my life with questions.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you the one where it's just casual sex questions. What are some of your pet peeves? Are you looking to kick it or settle down? What are some of your short, long-term goals in life? Do you want children? Is there anything that I should be aware of around or about you? I feel like those are some very, very, very good questions. Like very, and really, really good, to the point where you should pretty much know how to answer all them questions if you want to continue to finish dating that person or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because
those are great, great questions, actually.
Yeah. Where is this woman? It's amazing, because you sometimes think people have your mindset when it comes to dating. But when you realize that people don't have your mindset,
mm-hmm.
you know, this one woman said, at this point, I don't even care if you like dudes. But before we get down, then let me just start right there. I just want to implement my feelings. That's disgusting. That's all the way disgusting. Because, and I will never say who this person is, but in my mind, that's thirsty and that's desperate.
Yeah.
Because you start off saying, at this point, you don't even care if you like dudes. Meaning, you've been searching for the right man for a long time. Sounds and God just has tired. Not dropped you tired because
yeah.
to the point where you want to settle down for some dookie love. And that's just all the way nasty.
Leave the big purse and say dookie love. Be the first one to drop dookie love on the crosstalk.
That's right. That's what it is. It's dookie love, y'all, whether you like it or not. So she says, I'm going to read it again. At this point, I don't even care if you like dudes. Before we get down. And that means before we have sex, just in case folks don't know what get down means,
uh-huh.
are you willing to get tested? Are you willing to keep me protected? Do you love yourself enough to keep you protected? Now, those are some good questions. Here's the one question I feel like should not have been in there is, are you willing to keep me protected? Baby girl, you just said you only care if the man like men. And then, if the man like men and he going back and forth from the men and women, I don't know how much protecting he doing up in that one. That's just my personal opinion. Because you asking him, are you willing to get tested before y'all do something? So, I mean, to me, it's just a whole lot wrong.
It's a lot wrong. what if he got tested before he contracted it? How often is he updating the test? Is he updating every time y'all get intimate?
That's true. That's a good question.
But what she's asking, or it sounds like she's asking, Do you care enough to protect yourself? So she's expecting him to be sleeping with her and other people.
She's already accepted the fact that that's what it's going to be. That's what it is. And the sad part is, man, it's a lot of women out there who have gotten to that mindset where it is what it is. I'll take what it is that I can get. You know, and that's sad because
that is sad.
There are a lot of good brothers that are still out here. You know what I'm saying? And there were women that was on here that was encouraging, saying I was celibate for 3 years. Once I was celibate for 5. And, you know, it was hard, but it was the greatest time of my life because I got so close to God to where when my husband came, I never saw him coming. So yeah. I've heard two testimonies of women being celibate, strictly devoting their whole relationship to God.
That's
and
dope.
Then when their husband came, well, now they're happy as they can be. You know?
That's an area of bondage for a lot of people. I just want to chime in on that because I was talking, like, sex. It seems like a lot of people want to have sex.
They do.
Married people, single people. Married people want to have more sex, or at least married men want to have more sex.
Right.
You know, and I was talking to a few people, and it's like, you know, if your sex drive wasn't there, you know, sex wouldn't even be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, like, could you imagine what your relationship would be like if sex wasn't in the background? Like, how strong? I mean, like, if that's like, if this is the one thing that you're yearning for all the time, and that desire wasn't there,
right?
Like, how? That's one level, I guess, of bondage that you don't have to deal with. So I'm thinking, like that's an area where free sex should be enjoyed, but it shouldn't be to the point where it's hindering you from everything.
Right.
And when I'm thinking about your sister talk about she's been celibate for 3 years, and that's the best time of her life, that's amazing.
It is. Because it really is.
Because the thing about going without sex for 3 years doesn't sound amazing to me at all. You know, nah, it doesn't.
Me neither.
But the go 3 years without sex and say it's amazing, that's amazing in itself. I'm saying not to have that desire, or not, I'm not saying she didn't have desire, but to be able to overcome the flesh on such a level where it's not a hindrance to you, that's right. Dope. So I commend her on anybody right. That's being celibate. Anybody that's waited before they got married, anybody that's commend that's being celibate now. You know, if you had sex before and you're celibate now, I commend you because you already know what you're missing. So right. I think that's amazing.
Right.
But I just thought that was kind of dope that she put it out there. And it can be done. I know people who are celibate. Yeah. Well, you know what? I can't say for a fact. I know people who told me they're celibate and I believed it. So I don't know.
There
I
you don't go. Know. That's the safer way to answer that question.
But I think that's dope.
It's really sad. Some of this, I didn't read all these comments, man. But and one sister said, if they state they're not in a relationship, ask if anyone is in a relationship with them.
I guess that's a single hug. No, it's not even a single hug thing. I think that means they have a stalker or something.
It pretty much what she's saying is you got a girlfriend, but you denying your girlfriend because you're on this date right now. So what I'm saying is anybody currently claiming you?
That is hilarious. Man, I'm telling you, man, despite the marital problems I have and may have in the future, it has encouraged me, despite no matter what happens, that we're going to work through it, Keish. I don't want to be right. All these questions indicate all kinds of danger. You got hygiene, you got murderers, you got people in the closet, you got so much. And that's stuff that I have to worry about if I'm dating, but I also have to worry about these questions coming from. I have to answer all these questions, too. I got to go through a background check, all this stuff. Like, I'm getting a job just to date. It's crazy. Tax returns, Social Security,
all that. And this one brother said, do you believe it's okay to fornicate sometimes as a born-again Christian because God will forgive you?
No.
Or is marriage your main goal? Like, and this is a brother asking this question.
That's a good question.
That's really good.
But, I mean, the simple answer is no.
Yeah, but see, that's your answer, and that would be my answer.
It's the Bible answer. God's answer.
Right, but if you date somebody, because the thing about it is you want that person's realistic answer.
Yeah, I get you.
Because my thing is, if you do feel like it's okay to fornicate every now and then while we're dating, I want to know that up front. Because if I feel like I want to be celibate, and 3 months in, now you trying to sleep. Now I'm asleep, and you trying to get me aroused and whatnot. Because you want it, but you knew my stance in the beginning, that's going to cause an issue.
That's a dope question, though.
And rarely do you hear brothers to ask questions. Brothers are the ones who want to fornicate.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? In the midst of dating. And that's like that.
Hey, babe, he'll forgive us. God loves us.
And that's what he said. He said,
sometimes
because, you know, God will forgive you. And are you pretty much what he's saying is, you're going to fornicate and keep using that as an excuse because you know our God's going to forgive us.
True, or he might be feeling that way too, and seeing like how she feel about it. We both saved, so we gonna, you know, let's see how you feel about the celibacy thing.
True, or he could be asking that question because that's how he feel.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, so how she feel about the celibacy thing? The celibacy suggestion. Let's see how she feel.
Right.
So
we gonna go from there.
We run it. We out of time. You got time for one more? Then we gotta go.
Well, I mean, man, like I said, you know, all of them. I was actually looking for one that's, you know, outside of the norm of what we have been saying. You know, the general ones are, what's your credit score? Are you married? You know.
Credit score now? Wow.
Oh, yeah. I've heard somebody say, what's your credit score? You know, saying, what does your...
Now you got to have references just to date. Good God.
Right. Now, this one, I don't even... Does she move or even live? You know, some people just put some complete nonsense down. And, like I said, man, there's so much more. Here's the thing, people. If you guys want to read all the comments, I want Step to give his Facebook login too, just so y'all can become more in tune with who we are on a daily basis. Just besides Monday, so if you want to just look at the rest of these comments, you can. There's over 200 comments. Just go to Facebook. It's Yusuf Big Pudge. That's Y U S U F BIGPUDGE. And the question is what are some questions to ask while dating?
Simple. I'm Stephen Gibbs. That's my Facebook. STEPHENGIBBS. Stephen Gibbs in Atlanta. That's my Facebook. Also, I would prefer it if y'all just went to the Crosstalk page and answered the question. We post these on Crosstalk all the time, but Crosstalk, K-R-O-S-S-T-A-L-K, on Facebook. That's our page. Go. We have all the way to interact with you there, or just straight up email us, Crosstalk at Gmail, or Crosstalk Podcast at Gmail. Crosstalk always with a K.
Yeah. And if you want to, and please, like we really want to hear feedback from our shows. We really want to hear topics that you guys want us to talk about. So please, definitely, if you're on Facebook, definitely go to our Facebook page and leave us comments on how the shows were. Definitely leave us comments on or topics that you would love for us to talk about, stuff like that. We would love to hear from you guys.
Yeah, if you don't like something Yusuf said, just go ahead and post it on the page.
And I'm not going to care, so you go ahead and
if you don't like something I said, just inbox me. That way everybody don't have to see it. Anyway, thank y'all for tuning in once again. But before we go, we gotta shout out the cities that's been supporters this week. Yusuf, Pudge, our top city is still Tokyo.
Tokyo, man. We gotta do something for y'all. We gotta give a special presentation to y'all something, because y'all been really standing for the long.
You know what? There's anybody from Tokyo here in Atlanta that wanna come on the show. We invite you to come out, because we want to highlight that and support. And, you know, there's probably stuff going on in Tokyo that people need to be aware of that they're not aware of. So let me shout out the top 10 cities that we listen to. These are not any that are listening to us this week. They are not in any specific order, but of course, Tokyo is on the map. Thank you again, Tokyo.
Appreciate that.
Millsville is still on the map. Stone Mountain, Georgia, still on the map.
All right.
Fayetteville, Georgia. We see you, Fayetteville. Thank you, Fayetteville, for tuning in again.
All right.
Houston, Texas is a new one. Thank you, Houston. Shout out to Houston, Texas. Yeah. Smyrna, Georgia is a new one. Thank you, Smyrna, for tuning in. Menlo Park, California is still on the list with us, guys. Thank you, Cali. West Coast love. Thank you so much. Lawrenceville, Georgia, we got you. We see you. Thank you so much for your support. Snellville, Georgia is a new one on the map, too. Thank you, Snellville, for tuning in. Thank you for all of our listeners who didn't make the top 10. We still appreciate you no matter where you are. I know we got listeners in Great Georgia, Macon, Georgia, and, you know, Jersey. We thank you for everyone who's ever tuned in, told anybody about us. Germany, you still with us, too. Thank you, Germany. Oh, the Netherlands tuned in last week.
Oh, yes. That really
Shout out to the Netherlands.
Yeah, that really just got me some justice right there.
You know what's dope when I'm telling Pudge, like, yo, the Netherlands tuned in. He's like, where's that? That's how you know we're reaching outside our circle. That is amazing. Yes, thank you, Netherlands. We love you guys. Thank you for everyone that's tuning in. Keep us in your prayers. Keep tuning in. Keep supporting the show. Like I said, hit us up on Crosstalk, Gmail with a K. Anything that you want to tell us, let us know. We down with you. We love you guys. Peace.